Welcome to this Giving Tuesday edition of Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein, and today, like every day, we're bringing you the stories and conversations that connect our region, and we're asking for your support to keep Prairie Public strong at a time when listener funding matters more than ever. Your donation at prairiepublic.org or by calling 800-359-4145 ensures that independent, local journalism. The stories that connect us here on the prairie will continue to live strong. And we begin Main Street today with a recognition that the holidays are upon us. It's a time, of course, of joy, celebration, and often a lot of food. Gatherings can bring connection and comfort. They can also trigger anxiety around eating, weight, and health. Today, we're pleased to be joined by Sarah Teach. She's a registered dietitian, owner of Inspire Nutrition, and president of the North Dakota Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Her approach helps people embrace what she calls nutrition from the inside out. We're going to learn a lot more about that. Building healthy relationships with food based on joy, confidence, and real life habits rather than restriction. We'll talk about how to navigate holiday eating without guilt, what good nutrition actually looks like, and small adjustments maybe that we all can make to support both wellness and enjoyment. Sarah, welcome. Welcome to Main Street.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm super passionate about sharing the grace and the joy. Those are the two words. So I'm just so excited to be here.
We are really pleased that you are with us. Let's start from nutrition from the inside out. What does it mean and why does that mindset matter, especially now during the holiday season?
Yes. So I always like to think nutrition. Right now, you might see it in a drink form around town. You know, you might be misled sometimes by thinking, what am I doing? Is it a supplement? Is it a food? Is it a medication? What is it? So from the inside out, what I have been practicing that phrase with for feels like 14, 15 years now, the outside of us can't change if we don't address what's going on the inside. And we in today's society are so focused on that outside image, the outside image that the media, that family, friends, whoever it is, decides to paint for us, that we forget what's going on and who's on the inside. So one of the biggest things in my practice is I care about the person sitting in front of me, across from me, more than maybe the meal plan and the food and getting a chance to see what's going on the inside. It's when we start working on those habits, those behaviors, those lifestyle things. Maybe it's rebuilding your passion around talking about food, bringing joy around that. It's then the outside begins to change. Sometimes there's a glow, there's a smile, there's an excitement, there's weight loss. It all comes together when we really start to think of who we are on the inside and what those goals are, and they morph and they change, not because a commercial told us, not because an image told us. And so that's really what I aim to strive and stand by.
I want to talk, of course, a lot about holiday eating, and so many of us, me included, approach it with a guilt, but then, hey, I'll make it up later. I'll eat less Tuesday, or I'll work out harder Wednesday. Why do we have that mentality?
It's because we've been brought up. So I always go back to thinking, what were we told when we were young people? What was the culture like around holidays? Did you have an aunt, a grandma, a parent, don't go up for seconds? When in my little heart, my granny would make me my favorite mashed potatoes, homemade scratch mashed potatoes, where I had family members coming up to me and saying, now, Sarah, you really shouldn't have that second portion of mashed potatoes. So my heart is, I'm very dramatic in a sense of I love imagery because I feel like that just brings it home. If we could all take a second and think, do we have that moment, that trigger, that little bit of trauma that now relates as an adult, that you do feel bad, or we think I'm going to pig out at that meal. So I'm not going to have breakfast and I'm not going to have this because grandma always makes that pie. Auntie always makes those cookies. Well, how about we take care of ourselves in the morning, have a good breakfast filled with protein, filled with color, keep that blood sugar stable, have a normal portion, And then if you're like, I'm still hungry, go back and have a little bit more. Is one meal going to throw you off your whole bandwagon? I don't believe so. Now, if you're dealing with, hey, I know if I go like that, my taste buds, I just can't stop myself, then that's an individualized conversation. But when we have the word guilt around food, that's when I stop and think, why? What is it that made you feel guilty? Who was it? What was the phrase? Because again, that goes back to the inside. Something triggered that, where we should just be able to have that food, you know? Or why can't we have, let's say, Thanksgiving anytime during the year? Why can't we make a turkey? Why can't we have mashed potatoes? The, you know, green bean casserole that people are trying to make from scratch, which I've done, versus, you know, that can everybody's thinking of, which you mix it and it's, you know. But why in the healing process do we need to put guilt associated with it? Because guess what? You're actually doing more harm, I think, than eating the food itself.
This time of year, it's not just the meals. We're all experiencing the treat table, Barb's fudge and the divinity. And oh my gosh, it just goes down the line here. And we see it. And again, oh, I feel so guilty, but just one or two. I won't eat as much tonight. I'll work out again harder or whatever. Same thing happens to us then.
So if you can say, I kind of call it, I mean, there's a brand of chocolates. I always am just careful of saying it. But there's a chocolate, you know, the box that you open and you're like, okay, you eat it and then you eat it, but you didn't like it. Okay, so that's the brand name method, I call it, of this chocolate brand. So if there's something that you really enjoy, like the Holy Trinity of pies, right? That I'm picturing once you said that, why can't you have a little piece of each and be done with it and enjoy it and move on? Do you eat that every day? No, we don't consume it every day. Versus, I've got to have a full plate of everything and maybe I don't like it, but I'm going to eat it anyway. I would rather you have these conscious calories, if you want to call it, these conscious bites, and then you sit and you enjoy it and move on. Again, if you are working with a food allergy, a food sensitivity, you're working on this big goal, that's different. I can help you with that. If you're gluten-free and you need to be dairy-free, let's figure out for a way for you to enjoy the holidays. But if that's not something you're doing and needing to worry about, why can't we just work on our portions and enjoy it and feel full and satisfied by that? Because then you're like, now I'm guilty and I'm sitting here feeling guilty on the couch because I pigged out. But if you had stable blood sugar throughout the day and then you went to have your food, you'd be surprised how satisfied you'd be by everything that you put on your plate.
Let's talk about maybe key principles of balanced nutrition. Sarah, we all forever have been inundated with advice about this and advice about that, and this is the way you should do it, that's the way you should do it, or you should never eat after 6:30, or you should do whatever, whatever, whatever. Give us your key principles that we ought to be having our minds, not just during this holiday season, but all the time.
I would say you're correct. There is a lot of noise out there. And when I'm thinking, what are some things in that person's life? One, are you even aware of what you're consuming? We don't like logging, we don't like journaling. It is very time consuming. I tell people, why couldn't you take a picture? Why can't you just challenge yourself to write down, do we even know what we're consuming? If you can start, not even making changes, start by just logging and seeing what you're eating. You might recognize, I went to Costco today and walked around the samples and I just ate all of those calories. It's awareness to what we're putting in our mouth. If you can say, okay, well, I had lunch before I went to Costco. You're gonna be like, maybe I really don't have a need to do that. But how many of us have been running around with kids or schedules and we're like, oh, that's like a meal. I can go and have those. But we don't recognize that they add up, right? Or the moms that maybe we don't have the breakfast because we're taking care of our kids and then you're eating all these bites and maybe you're under eating. So it's being aware. If we can work on being aware of what we're consuming, that's the first one. Second would be the macronutrient. I think right now the fad is high protein, high fiber. How much are we hearing about protein? I will tell you that blood sugar stability is really key through all life cycles. looking at our kids to looking at the aging population. Irregular blood sugar control, right? So ups and downs, maybe you feel jittery, maybe you're irritable. You don't feel good. If you are struggling with type 1 or type 2 diabetes, right? Not here to diagnose or treat, but think about what you feel like throughout the day. So if we can consume a balanced plate, okay, let me clarify that. So something that has a good source of protein, nice fiber in there, maybe some colorful vegetables, some fruit, healthy fats. Fat is such a loaded question, by the way, in today's society, and a good carbohydrate. I'm not talking about maybe just croissants with sugar on top of them and chocolate, right? Because that's going to tank us or tank our kids. Can you have maybe some good granola on a beautiful yogurt cup with some fresh fruit and nuts, maybe a little flax seed to help stabilize us? You're still getting all those food groups, but now you've made it more complex than, say, a croissant with some sugar on it. So paying attention to the food groups, but not obsessing about 150 to 200 grams of protein.
So what I think I hear you saying that healthy foods can still be satisfying and even celebratory, really.
If I hear people speak about food the way that people say I have this odd relationship with food, that's because I practice what I preach. I've healed from my own journey and my own story to the point where if you can get excited about what goes on your plate and celebrate it, oh my Lanta, that is a win. That is a nutrition strategy because you're taking off the stress from food, which is there to nourish us. But yes, there are those sometimes foods like the Trinity, right, of pies. So looking at what goes on your plate from a journal standpoint, but also thinking, am I really going into the day coming fasted from sleeping with nothing but sugar on my plate? It's not going to help us. So, looking at good quality protein, I'm not saying go 150, 200 grams, right? That's pretty extreme. But thinking, where am I going to go to keep my blood sugar balanced? So, right? Refreshing, because I love to get on tangents. Everybody who knows me knows that. Logging, keep it simple, right? Logging. Okay. What's on your plate? Not the logging port, but looking at protein. Vegetables, fruit. Okay, that gives us that fiber, those other micronutrients, good carbohydrates, and healthy fats. Right? Again, loaded question for clarification if individuals are struggling with that. But, that's looking at it and putting it on there.
Enjoying our conversation with Sarah T. She's a registered dietitian. She's the owner of Inspire Nutrition and president of the North Dakota Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Is there an app that we ought to be thinking about to help us along our journey?
If I'm completely transparent, I don't use a lot of apps in my practice. I find that they are not sustainable. Back in the day, if you're throwing out a name brand, MyFitnessPal still is pretty much in the circle of dietitians. Just went to a conference and they were there. Nourish is a website. Can't confirm if you can go on there and log for free. You're welcome to check that out, but there are a ton out there and none that right now I can say have been the most successful. I like to help my clients calculate their needs. A lot of those apps are estimations based on height and weight. So sometimes you might be under eating or overeating based on your goals when you're logging. And so that's when I say for now to even just write it down. So if you did want to try MyFitnessPal to look, just because that's the one that for the old school, the one the most I've worked with, what it would do is it would allow you to log your food, find substitutions, estimations based on those food groups. Recipes are a little bit harder, but you can start to quantify how much you're doing. Because without really learning, you guys might not know what 3 ounces of protein looks like and how many calories in protein. So if you want to try that, I'd say that's a good starting place. It's probably the easiest one to get into and navigate lately because it's been around a while, but there are a lot of apps out there.
Sarah, I'm going to ask you about GLP-1s in just a moment. But before I do that, there have been a lot of newer conversations around food noise. They seem to me they're gaining traction. Can you explain what that is, both nutritionally and psychologically?
Sure, I will do my best. Food noise. So I want you to think, those of you that are listening, When you can't stop thinking about your next meal, thinking about, do I have enough on my plate? Am I getting enough? Am I full? I'm still hungry. That didn't satisfy me. I just ate that bar, but I want more food. The constant chatter in your brain to feel hungry. It's not going away. You keep eating. You got to plan this next meal. You don't know what to do. You know, you see this person doing this protein powder. Okay, I've got to get that protein powder. It's all of this. Think of it like that, the wavelength, like Superman, right? Where you hear everything coming at you and you're just waiting for that quiet because you, all of these directions. So from a physical standpoint, right, we have hunger hormones. We have ghrelin and leptin. They tell us when we're full. They tell us when we're hungry. So a lot of the times there's a disconnect even in those. Our gut microbiome is really important when it comes to that, and gut brain connection there. But also from a psychological standpoint, if you can turn that off, one, more than likely we're starting to work on the foods that we're eating that help us stay full and satisfied. But also you don't feel that you're obsessing about food all day long, all day long. Because it is very real to think, okay, I'm trying to lose weight. I need to hit these calories. Okay, I need to eat this on my plate. Instead of figuring out, this is what works for me. I have what I need on my plate in front of me. And then all of a sudden to think, I'm not thinking about food. I'm ready to eat lunch because my hunger hormones are saying, you're ready to go. Instead of constantly thinking all day long about what needs to go. So I'd say the Superman, if you can picture him and all of those shows where he just hears all of the problems all over the world, that could be an example of someone with food noise all the time going on in their head.
Okay, Sarah, I probably saw 50, not exaggerating, commercials about GLP-1s this Thanksgiving holiday.
I know.
Football games and movies and whatever, you name it. There they were all the time. How was nutrition guidance evolving from your perspective? And what are your thoughts about GLP-1s generally?
So I always like to say I don't consider myself the GLP-1 expert. I do believe dietitians are playing an extreme role in advocating for healthy usage of them. So, right, traditionally, what were we using them for? They're not just specifically for weight loss, those individuals with the diabetes. So what we want to think of is, yes, our bodies can naturally produce. So what are we doing when we're taking this medication? And I always like to say, listen, if you come to me, don't be afraid. Be like, oh, I'm going to a dietitian. I'm already on a GLP. Nope. I'd say get that out of your thought process, because how can I support you on it? Eventually, I want you to think, is this a forever thing? Is this medication for forever?
Do you have a thought about that? Because we hear that it probably might be, that all the research says it's a lifelong thing. Otherwise, guess what? Once you go off it, you're going to have trouble again. Do you buy into that?
I'd say I want it to be individualized. I don't know everybody's story. I don't know everybody's medical history. A lot of the times that's what we dig into. If you're on it to help you with weight loss, because that is the trend you're seeing, okay, to support weight loss, there is the satiety. So feeling satisfied when we eat, and then we can be done and move on. There's the food noise, which has been changing, and people are finding freedom in that. But also there's our muscle mass. So if we're just going in there and we're like, I'm taking this medication. Yep, I'm not eating as much anymore. Okay, great. I'm starting to lose weight, but we're not working on our lean muscle mass. There is that conversation we need to have, because we don't want to lose that. A lot of the times I can usually tell an individual, and I don't know if I'll get flack from this, that potentially has been on a GLP-1. There sometimes is that look to an individual, and not that I want you guys to, you know, fear that, but just think, how can you, if you are taking it, support your body? Because in this case, as weight loss, right, we have to be prepared. What are you going to do when you come off of it? Do you have the mental capacity to have changed those lifestyle behaviors to support coming off? Because if you don't, the weight gain comes back. If you are not eating carbohydrates because you just were in this toxic carb cycle, which we need carbohydrates, right? Carbohydrates attract water. Sometimes that's when we see weight loss. Boom, we put that back on. right? If we are on medications, there's been people who have actually had some issues with not wanting to consume protein because of how they feel. So there is some feedback on all sides of the foods that they're consuming, of the lifestyle behaviors. Those that are microdosing to, taking full capacity, there's different individuals getting different symptoms, right? The one I'm picturing has an athlete on it. I'm sure you all saw it this weekend. Obviously, her lifestyle, she has potential trainers, she's got chefs. Who's got this lifestyle that they have supporting that? We don't. Okay. We're the ones that need to get up and meal prep. We're the ones that need to say, I need to move my body. So a GLP, in my mind, unless you have the right support, the right help, the right mindset around it, sometimes I feel is can be overdone, and I might get not canceled, but I'm very protective about it because I want the person, let's go back to inside out, to be better off, better for forever, and not a quick fix.
We're going to continue our conversation with Sarah T. in just a moment. She's a registered dietitian, owner of Inspire Nutrition, and president of the North Dakota Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. We'll be right back. And we're in the Main Street studio. I'm Craig Blumenschein, live with my colleague Eric Dethridge. He's a program manager here at Prairie Public. And Eric, before we go on, thank you so much for filling in for me when I was on vacation last week. I really appreciate that.
Well, it's good work, man. It's a thrill. I mean, you're obviously a talented and skilled host and interviewer, and to be able to step into that chair and have some fun with these microphones and talk to some people, that's always fun. And I know that's why people listen to Main Street, for good, compelling conversation. I know I'm glued to this talk about food noise, carb toxicity, and medicines like Ozempic, which I want to get more information about.
It certainly is the holiday season. We think about food,
yeah,
but we also think about giving. And of course, today is Giving Tuesday, as
that's
we
right.
said at the top of the show. And that's why Eric and I are live in the studio here today. You're listening to Main Street, of course. We are member supported, and we have some serious information that we'd like to talk about.
Yeah, we have a dollar for dollar match. We're doing this Giving Tuesday, like lots of organizations around the country and around the world are. It's a day of giving worldwide. And if Prairie Public is your source for reliable news and information and great conversation, please step up with a donation. It's going to be matched dollar for dollar. Just go to prairiepublic.org or call 800-359-4145.
Take just a little bit of time to make a good, important, donation, support of, to show your support of Prairie Public. But Eric, I was flabbergasted when we walked into the studio and we saw this list of folks who have given today on
Giving
Tuesday.
Got a lot of names,
Tuesday.
A lot of places.
We're not going to be able to read them all. It's
no.
so many, but you look around the map, from Bismarck, from Mandan, from West Fargo, from, geez, Winnipeg, from Minot, from, keep going down the list, Dickinson, from Grand Forks. We are so grateful that people are supporting Prairie Public, Eric, at a time when Prairie Public needs support.
Yeah, of course, you've heard by now all the loss of federal funding for public broadcasting. We're in the thick of that now and all the budgeting we need to do to survive the year and get beyond that, too. And that's why having this one-day drive on Giving Tuesday with your gift turbocharged by a dollar-for-dollar match is so important right now. So if this service means something to you, if you get a lot out of it, if you appreciate the fact that news and information is free for anybody in North Dakota and surrounding region to listen to and enjoy, then please step up with a donation of any amount and it will get matched. $10 becomes $20 a month when you call 800-359-4145 or give online at prairiepublic.org.
More folks who have given, from Thief River Falls, from Williston, from Lisbon. You go down the list, from Wahpeton, from Thunder Bay, from Grand Forks. We are so grateful. It's easy to do, 1-800-359-4145, or be the tech person today. Go online to prairiepublic.org. Click the donate button and off you go.
Yeah, Giving Tuesday is a global day of giving created to uplift organizations doing meaningful work. Prairie Public is one of them in your life, a trusted source for music, for learning, for news and information. Today is the perfect day to donate with that dollar for dollar match. If Prairie Public is part of your life but you've never donated, now is the time and you will get boosted. 800-359-4145. prairiepublic.org. Give for the great conversation, all the things you learn in an hour of Main Street with Craig. Craig does so much work, and I'm glad it sounds like it's easy, because that's the way it's supposed to be when you have a skilled broadcaster like Craig. He does the work, does the research, and then he asks questions seamlessly, and it just feels very comfortable to listen to. I know you appreciate that work. You appreciate that you don't have to think about that. You just enjoy the interview and get the good information. So please step up with a pledge of support right now. It takes just a couple of minutes at prairiepublic.org or call 800-359-4145.
We'll take you out and remind you, even if you maybe were a sustaining member a long time ago, now's the time to hop back in with your Giving Tuesday support. And we now continue our conversation with Sarah T. She's the president of the North Dakota Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and she's the owner of Inspire Nutrition. All right, Sarah, let's cut through a lot of stuff here for families that are working maybe on limited budgets. What's a high-value, nutrition-dense food that we should really think about? And what should our low-cost staples maybe kind of look like?
I love this. I feel like I just kind of had this conversation with a client as well. Beans, I feel, are forgotten about. Again, some people are intolerant to them, but they can add into with a good quality rice or quinoa, get us some more complete proteins when you pair some of those together. They can bulk up a meal, but still provide valuable nutrients. And so I know North Dakota, our agriculture, I'm a transplant. And so I just love our ag up here, completely support it. I love learning. It's a really big part. I think that is a great addition to a meal, whether you make a lentil soup. So I also say bulk. If you can think of a meal that you are going to get multiple servings, think about, okay, I made a dinner. Now I have enough for lunch for my family the next day. You are setting yourself up for success instead of maybe I need to go out and get that fast food meal, and where it adds up. And so making like a lentil soup, you can easily blend it down. You can put tons of vegetables in it. It doesn't have to always be fresh. There are really good quality frozen vegetables that are blanched that even if you sheet pan them, tend to cook quicker. I love to blend my lentil soups and make it this creamy, delicious, nutrient-dense food. You know, I don't want to say casseroles. Hot dish is really big up here. I came from casserole country. It's hot dish country up here. So a lot of the times I feel like that is a meal that people go to, right? When we're thinking what is inexpensive. I want you to think, what are you putting in that hot dish? If you're putting a ton of cheesy potatoes and, you know, canned soups and whatnot, but what can you do? I like to make a taco casserole. If you take some meat, it also can be blended with, textured vegetable protein. So I know soy is a very hot topic, but if you understand and you learn what it is and the relationship that it potentially doesn't affect, which is also misinformation in this, that's a whole nother topic of conversation we could probably have. But you can expand a recipe with that. And it's very inexpensive at a store to purchase. And that can build up a recipe, still providing good quality proteins when you're cooking.
Sarah, let's wind up our conversation with some myths. I just want you to bust for us if you can.
Sure. Okay. I will. Let's go.
Myth one, carbs are the enemy, especially if you're trying to avoid holiday weight gain. Truth or myth?
Myth. Why? I don't want you to think a carbohydrate is the enemy, because our bodies need carbohydrates. There are individuals that say, nope, we can go ketogenic and get our body going, get our cells utilizing the energy that it has. But our muscles need glycogen. It's stored. Those are big muscle groups. You know, our brains need glucose. It's the right type of carbohydrates. So sure, why can't you make a sweet potato casserole, but does it have to have everything that you have in it? Can we have a white potato? You bet. There's some nutrients in there, but how are we cooking it? Right? What are we doing? I'd rather you have a nice potato versus some French fries, because you're going to get the skin and the fiber. So no, they are not the enemy. I'd say it's what you do with them and what you're consuming.
Next myth. Okay. This food is labeled gluten-free, organic, and natural. It must be healthier. Myth or truth?
That's a tough one. I would say, can I say like a 50-50?
Sure.
I'm going to tell you guys to watch your label claims. They are meant a lot of the times to grab your attention, because they want you to buy into that. Is gluten-free necessarily healthier? Absolutely not. it's, there are still ingredients in there. There's carbohydrates, there's still sugar. Natural. Okay, what's natural? We don't necessarily always know what natural flavors are in a lot of those food groups. They can be anything, unless that that company is transparent. Organic, right? We're looking at, what is it sprayed with? What is it consumed with? That is a very hot topic right now in the glyphosate world. And so I really want you guys to think, what are you doing? I love to see pictures. Like, if you found me on socials and sending me pictures, like, let's do this, right? Like, send it and debunk it and really think, is this product potentially better? Don't fall for packaging claims. Turn it over and look at it.
Next potential myth, and I've been guilty of this. Skipping a meal before the big holiday meal helps me save up calories. Myth or truth?
Oh, myth. Please don't do it. Nope. Please don't do it. You know, like, it going back to that blood sugar stability, you will feel better. You will feel better. You're not going to crash on the couch unless you really are like looking forward to being like, I wore my stretchy pants, I'm ready to collapse on that couch. It is just so much better for even how you're going to feel the next day. If you can just take care of yourself, you know, we've got our 5Kers sometimes that go and run. Eat a good balanced breakfast. Do you need to pick out a breakfast? No, eat a good breakfast. Get 20 to 30 grams of protein in that breakfast and then move about your day. Maybe you have a earlier Thanksgiving, which there is a lot of good to come with that to get your body digesting. Eat earlier then if you find that you're hungry. Let your body rest and digest and get ready for good sleep, because how many of us actually sleep better over the holiday night? Mm-hmm. How many of us are you felt good on this weekend, right? After potentially pigging out. So think of what that's doing to your body and that overload if we save up all of those calories for the evening instead of, hey, I'm going to have this normal looking meal. Because guess what? You're going to have leftovers and you can have more tomorrow.
Last myth. We covered this a little bit earlier, but I want to ask it again.
Sure.
Healthy eating during the holidays means that I have to cut out all of my favorite foods. Mm-mm. Truth or myth?
Let's go myth. It does not. I want you to find joy in what you're eating. If that food does not spark joy and you are just eating it to eat it, why eat it? If you're going to have your piece of grandma's infamous pumpkin pie, okay, with a scoop of vanilla ice cream on it and whipped cream, because I feel like that's just the way people do it. Okay, does it bring you joy? Okay, move on. Because in the end, if you're stressed over it, I feel like that's just mentally and physically doing more harm in this case. Just have it and move on. What I'm aiming for is having a healthy relationship with food, which is becoming so vital that we need to focus on.
My guest has been Sarah Tee. She's a registered dietitian and owner of Inspire Nutrition and president of the North Dakota Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Sarah, it has been a pleasure. Her approach helps people embrace what she calls nutrition from the inside out. And you can Google Inspire Nutrition here in North Dakota to learn more about Sarah and her work. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me. Hope you all just think of some of these things and find grace and joy in whatever you're doing today.
And we are back in the Main Street studio. I'm Craig Blumenschein with my friend Eric Deathridge. She was fun to listen to.
Oh, she's fantastic. I feel like she was my food coach.
She is.
Yeah.
That's her vocation.
Well, and I feel absolved. I feel like all the tryptophan still running through my bloodstream is okay. It's okay that I'm still sluggish after, 4 days of gobbling up leftovers. Thank you for that. But no, the information she gave was very sound, very solid, very reasonable. She talked very articulately about carbs, you know, and how we don't have to just completely eliminate them from our diet. Like, that's a ridiculous notion.
So, she'll become a friend of the show. She wants
totally
to do more about food, and I think it's a topic that is worthwhile.
Yes.
That we all want to learn more about, because we hear so much noise, so much internet, so much of stuff. Like, we talked about food noise, that it's nice to be able to get something succinct. Well, that was kind of the Thursday stuff for what we had last week with Thanksgiving and all the food. Now it's Giving Tuesday,
yes,
Eric, and that's why we are here. We're asking that our listeners go to prairiepublic.org, click click on that donate button. Eric, we have a good match. $1 is really two, and it's so important.
Oh, yeah. Dollar-for-dollar match is excellent. You know, a $50 gift becomes $100. You want to give a little extra if you're a sustaining member, you know, chip in $100, it becomes $200. Whatever you want to give today, it's Giving Tuesday, a global movement of generosity to give to the people and organizations that we care about, that care about our communities. Prairie Public, we serve you and everybody in North Dakota and surrounding region with reliable information and stimulating conversation, all without commercial interruption. It's not how we pay for it. We used to get a little help from the federal government, a little more help from the state government, and members have always been the lion's share of our budget, but now it's nearly 100%. And with this dollar-for-dollar match that we have going on this Giving Tuesday, now is the perfect time to jump in with whatever gift works for you at prairiepublic.org or call 800-359-4145.
We've heard from Bernadine, Olivia, Andrea, Carla, Lorian, Scott, Susan, Laura, Tina, AJ, Paula and Paul, Sarah, Karen, Jerry, Johnny, Valerie. I'm not going to get through everybody, and Eric, and I feel badly about that, but to go to prairiepublic.org. Feel good about supporting Prairie Public and what we bring to not only North Dakota, but the Prairie region.
Well, so much news and information and noise, as you mentioned, that you can find through other sources. I know a lot of folks get their information on social media. I'm not immune to that. But when I'm going through my scroll now, Craig, I swear about 75% of what I see is false. It's fake. And you and I both like sports. Half the stuff that are sports memes are completely false.
They're misquoted. Bot generated.
That goes for news, too. And it's very hard to suss out who you could trust. What news organizations, what posts am I seeing is the actual information and not generated by some bot somewhere else. And that's just becoming more ubiquitous. So it's really important that we support our local newspapers, that we support public broadcasting. Sources of reliable and fact-driven information need our help. And today on this Giving Tuesday, with federal funding eliminated, we could use your help to power us through the holidays 2026 and beyond. Go to prairiepublic.org, get your donation boosted right now, dollar for dollar.
Your support will ensure that facts continue to drive our mission. We're free from outside pressure, Eric, and I can't emphasize enough. You hear so many agenda-driven podcasts, agenda-driven newscasts. That's not us.
Nope.
We set our editorial agenda. We work hard to be fair. We work hard to be varied, and we bring stories every day. Our news department, myself here at Main Street, to our listeners here in North Dakota and the Prairie region, and we are grateful for their support. And we're grateful for your support. 800-359-4145, or go online right now. Takes about 90 seconds, prairiepublic.org.
And thank you.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Miccosukee tribe calls the Florida Everglades home. Over the years, they have faced climate change's impact on their lands. Now they're also fighting a federal immigration detention center. Our Living Lands producer Daniel Spalding spoke to Talbert Cypress, the tribe's chairman.
The Miccosukee have always had a deep relationship with the Everglades. Can you describe your homelands and what they mean to you and your tribe?
Our homelands, we've been here for hundreds of years. Our main area where we resided was up in Southern Georgia, Northern Florida, but we would venture out into the Everglades for gathering and hunting and that sort of thing. And so when the Seminole Wars happened, we retreated into the Everglades and went further south in order to evade capture and be removed to Oklahoma. And so after the wars was over, there was about 150 tribal members left. And from that, that's where we've descended from, the Miccosukee people as well as the Seminole people. And the Everglades is not just the place where we live, it's also a part of our being.
And Florida faces rising sea levels, stronger storms, and shifting ecosystems. Can you talk about the specific ways that climate change has affected the Miccosukee lands and people?
We've seen climate change throughout the years, and we've seen the way the water flow has changed through the Everglades throughout the years. And so the Miccosukee people have always adapted to it, but we've always given warnings to the entities and people moving here about the ever-changing way, you know, all the settlement, what the settlement does to the environment. And so we've been sounding alarm for you know, years and years and years. And more recently, the federal government has stepped up in providing funding for Everglades restoration, which to us is very pretty much an acknowledgement of all the damage that's been done already.
And given those challenges, what are some of the solutions that you and your tribe are working towards?
Well, we're big proponents of Western Everglades restoration. That's basically where all of our water comes from, all of our drinking water. The restoration projects that they focus on are usually involved the bays and, you know, where people already reside. And so, you know, they're meeting the problem further down the road rather than where it starts, you know. And so the tribe has been very focused on shifting that, you know, that work to go towards more of the Western Everglades.
And your tribe has been in the news lately for your fight against the immigration detention center in the Everglades that some are calling Alligator Alcatraz. Can you talk about the concerns you have about that facility and its impact on the land and the environment?
You know, the National Preserve, where the detention center is located, it's in the middle of the preserve, and that preserve was established in 1974, I believe. And it was established specifically to prevent development of a major airport there. And us, along with conservation groups and Gladesmen, all came together, and politicians as well, to really put a stop to that project. And when that was done, there was only one tarmac that was completed. And that tarmac is where the detention center currently sits now. They've had to bring in supplies. They've had to remove waste. They've had to bring in lighting. They've had to bring in generators and all that sort of thing, and pave more ground there. So that's our big concern right now, that they haven't gone through the process of consulting with tribes and consulting with environmental protection agencies and all that. And so, you know, for us, our big concern is that we have ceremonial grounds nearby. We have traditional medicine gathering sites nearby. We have traditional resting places nearby. And all of that, you know, is a big concern for us, as well as the environment.
In this legal battle against the Immigration Detention Center, you join environmental groups like Friends of the Everglades, Center for Biological Diversity, and Earth Justice. Can you talk about the potential you see for Indigenous nations to work together with environmental groups going forward?
That's been our goal as a tribe, you know, during my administration, to really, not just with environmental groups and landowners out here, but also to reach across both aisles, Republicans and Democrats. And, you know, I think we all have a common mission, which is, you know, to preserve the Everglades. But, you know, everybody being in the same room really moves things along so that we can find solutions to these complex issues, rather than everybody just looking out for their own interests.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
We're back in the Main Street studio one more time this hour. I'm Craig Blumenschein with my friend Eric Deathridge. Eric's the program manager here at Prairie Public, hoping that you'll take advantage of a match that we have available. Make your $1 turn into $2. Make your $20 turn into $40. It's really easy to become a pledging supporter. As I said earlier, maybe renew a membership you had a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Because so we can't emphasize enough, we are member supported. And we used to say that kind of, well, we were member supported, but we also had some federal support and some state support. That's gone. And yeah, we believe in what we do. We are going to be around. Yeah. The reason is because our members are stepping up, Eric.
Well, we say it with a conviction always, member supported, but we're saying it with a little more urgency.
Urgency would be
now,
a great word.
Yeah, but I mean, it's every day. We have expenses every day here at Prairie Public, that the bills that need to be paid. I see them. And it is the collective generosity of our members that make us able to sustain this operation. That's what why we're calling on you right now. Go to prairiepublic.org. or call 800-359-4145. It's a one-day drive, Giving Tuesday, a global day of generosity around the world. Right now, we're asking you to take stock in what you enjoy and depend on with Prairie Public, whether it's the news or information, whether it's the outstanding music programming, classical and roots rock and jazz, the programs on the weekend, Wait, Don't Tell Me, whatever it is, or if it's all of it, please just measure that a little bit. And today, whatever you donate, $10 a month, $20 a month, it gets boosted. It gets doubled. Dollar for dollar match, 800-359-4145.
Especially if you enjoy Main Street and the content that we're able to bring to you. Eric, we're going to visit with Wahpeton's mayor this week. We're going to go to Grand Forks to talk about their Winter Wonderland concert that's upcoming.
That was exciting.
We're going to go to the Gateway, the North Dakota Gateway to Science in Bismarck. And there's even others that I'm forgetting about, I'm sure. And we're able to do this to get around the state of North Dakota because of the great support of our listeners.
That's right. And it's those dollars that allows Craig to do these kind of interviews for you or to cover the wide breadth of this fascinating region. And I just love how many places that we've been covering here lately and every day on Main Street. The places, the people. The people are the places, you say in one promo, which I just love. 800-359-4145 or prairiepublic.org. It's a dollar for dollar match. Main Street is on top of the news, the issues that affect all of us in this region, but we also want to give you a real sense of place and community.
It's a pledge drive. It really is. It's a quick one. It's a pledge drive. We're asking people to become monthly contributors, $10 a month, $15 a month. Just remember, that's doubled. It's a great way to secure the news, the information, and the music that is inspiring for us, Eric. It is inspiring when we get to hear maybe points of view that we're not familiar with, new information that we haven't heard before. We get to bring that to our listeners.
Or just delightful moments. And, you know, there are listeners all over this region that listen to Prairie Public, that enjoy it, but maybe right now is not the time that they can afford to make a donation and make a gift right now. That's okay. Maybe you can, pick up the slack for them and help a fellow listener, help your community out right now. And remember, you're getting help from a group of members who will double your contribution right now at prairiepublic.org or call 800-359-4145.
We're hoping that word sustainer rings a bell with you. We're hoping that maybe you can't give us $100 every month, but you can give five or 10. And that's what a sustaining member does for us here at Prairie Public. Eric, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sustaining members.
Very popular.
And
yep.
It is our foundation.
Yep.
And it's why we need to continue asking for folks to continue their support. 1-800-359-4145 or prairiepublic.org. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Dakota Datebook for December 2nd. As Secretary of State for President James Monroe, John Quincy Adams advocated for the expansion of the United States. He was responsible for establishing the northern boundary of the country from Lake of the Woods to the Rocky Mountains, and eventually to the Pacific Ocean. More than any other man, Adams was responsible for putting the Monroe Doctrine into action. Adams ran for president in 1824. The election was a wild affair. There were four candidates. Adams was the son of founding father and second president of the United States, John Adams. Andrew Jackson was a military hero. And other candidates were Secretary of the Treasury, William Crawford of Georgia, and Speaker of the House, Henry Clay. Jackson secured the highest number of electoral votes, but fell short of gaining the majority. The election was sent to the House of Representatives to be settled. On this date in 1824, the House was in the second day of deliberation. Henry Clay was eliminated as he held fourth place. He threw his support to Adams. Discussions continued, and it wasn't until February 9, 1825, that John Quincy Adams was elected as the sixth President of the United States. Adams was an ardent expansionist. He had a vision of a strong, unified nation and actively promoted westward expansion. He thought it was absurd that European powers could retain colonies in what he believed should naturally belong to the United States. He said, "I want that land for our western settlers." He was convinced that the new settlers would lose their attachment to Europe as they embraced the concept of a powerful, enterprising, and rapidly growing nation. He supported building roads and canals that would give settlers easier access to the land in the West. Later developments would open up the American West. The Homestead Act accomplished what President Lincoln hoped for, attracting new settlers to the Western territories. Stagecoaches and the Pony Express gave way to the Transcontinental Railroad. But although he came much earlier in the story, John Quincy Adams should not be overlooked as the architect of westward expansion that eventually led to statehood for western states, including North Dakota. Adams' dream was fulfilled as the country became unified from coast to coast. Today's Dakota Datebook was written by Dr. Carol Butcher. I'm Merrill Pepcorn.
Dakota Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota, with funding from Humanities North Dakota.
And that wraps up this Giving Tuesday edition of Main Street. Thanks for spending part of your day with us, and thank you for supporting Prairie Public. Listener contributions are what keep programs like this on the air, independent, local, and commercial free. If you haven't made your Giving Tuesday donation yet, you can do that anytime at prairiepublic.org or by calling 800-359-4145. Every gift truly makes a difference. And join us tomorrow on Main Street as we go behind the magic of Winter Wonderland, the University of North Dakota's beloved holiday tradition. We'll visit with Associate Director of Choral Activities Melanie Popejoy and a student performer about the music, preparation, and artistry that brings this celebration to life at the Chester Fritz Auditorium on the campus of the University of North Dakota. Until then, thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting Prairie Public.